Welcome to another episode of Over the Mountain with Frank Nicely. Today we have Eric Wider with us. Eric Wider is a campaign manager and a consultant in Tennessee. And this is Elizabeth Murphy here acting as co-host with Frank. Frank, take it away.
Well, thank you very much. It's last podcast we talked about the conservation easements, and it's such an important thing. We thought we would do a follow-up and go a little deeper. People were interested in knowing more, so we're going to talk a little deeper into these conservation easements. They're not what they seem to be. And what I don't want to do, I don't want any farmer to be duped into thinking that this is going to save his farm, save the environment, save his grandkids, save anything. And so we're going to go a little deeper, and Eric got with us today, and we're going to let him talk about it. Eric, take it away.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the podcast today. And, you know, on the conservation easement, there was a bill that was passed this year in Tennessee. It created a $25 million taxpayer fund with the goal of encouraging conservation easements. And, you know, one of the things in pretty much every single subcommittee, committee, and on the floor, the number one point that was made was that farmland is being destroyed from development, right? Residential homes being built. And that was the number one point that was made every single time this came up. And one of the companies that were mentioned was Foothills Land Conservancy. And if you go to their website and you click on, they got a tab there for our impact, you will see that they talk about that they have already included 200,000 acres throughout the Southeast on conservation easements. But one of the things, though, and if you go to the website, you'll see a map with all these pin drops, probably a couple hundred pin drops, but you'll see there's an option there for working farms. And if you click on that option and you hit the search button, you will only see 8 actual conservation easements for working farms.
Wow.
And so out of the over 200,000 acres that they are claiming, you know, is their impact, only 2,773 is actually working farms. You know, the rest is habitat conservation easements and other types of easement conservation easements. But the other thing you'll notice if you search around the map in Tennessee, you know, if this is about stopping farmland from being developed, well, what you will also notice is these conservation easements are not really happening around the Nashville area or even Knoxville. There was very few pin drops there, or say Johnson City. It's happening in the most rural parts of Tennessee, right? And so, you know, the premise is definitely not backed up by the facts when you look at, you know, how conservation easements have worked so far.
Well, Eric, where did this idea of these conservation easements start? I've been hearing about these things for years and years. This is not something Bill Lee dreamed up. It didn't start in Tennessee. Years ago in the 70s or 80s, if I remember right, they called them transfer development rights, TRDs or something. And then it morphed into this. This initiative's international. It's from the globalist. It's from the Biden administration. He carried it off. This 30 by 30, where Biden wanted to control 30% of all the land in America by 2030, 50% of all the land by 2050. He wanted to control the national parks, national forests, state forest, government land, and then start in on a private land. And it all plays right in with the United Nations Wildlands Project. Google the Wildlands Project sometime. And so this thing is not something just going to save land. I told the governor, I said, if you want to save land, shut down ECD. ECD just gobbled up 6,000 acres of farmland down there for Ford.
What is ECD?
Economic Development. The Department of Economic Development. They go out here and lure these big companies to come in. We give away the store. We give them all kinds of tax credits to come in here. And they take advantage of us. I mean, through the years, we've been taken advantage of by these companies. They come in until the tax credits are gone, and then they're out of here. But no, this is not something that started here in Tennessee. This is very devious, and as we go into the podcast today, we'll learn more about it.
Yeah, and Frank, you're absolutely right. In the 80s, it really started becoming popular, and it's grown in popularity since then. But we're actually starting to see pushback. Some of the states like Montana, South Dakota, and there's some other ones, Nebraska, you know, some of the ones that were early adopters, they are now introducing and even passing legislation to try to walk it back, because of the problems that we're having. And when it did start too, there was bipartisan support for it. If you look at the Republican Party platforms from the 80s and 90s, you would see both parties talking about taxpayer funding for conservation easements. But in 2012, you know, the Republican Party dropped that language from our platform. And I think that was intentional. But whereas, as you rightly pointed out about the Biden administration, that 30 by 30, that actual language is in the 2024 Democratic Party platform. So literally what Republicans in Tennessee passed this year was straight out of the 2024 Democratic platform.
So one of the things that I hear is that farmers are saying that they want it. Farm Bureau is coming out and saying that this is a great thing for farmers. This is how we protect the land. What would you say to that, Eric? Is this actually protecting the land?
Let me comment on that just before Eric comments. I know a lot of the people at the Farm Bureau, and a lot of the people at the Farm Bureau own land. They own a lot of land. And at least four of them have told me they would never, now these are officials with the Farm Bureau, they said, I would never put my land in a conservation easement. And so you got to remember about the Farm Bureau. The Farm Bureau is not driven by the local farmers out here. It's driven by the American Farm Bureau. The American Farm Bureau, if you ever find their portfolio on the internet, they own millions of dollars in stock in all the big corporations. They're global, basically globalist outfit anymore. And they're the ones that tell the American Farm Bureau. The officials at the Farm Bureau, you won't see them putting their land in a conservation easement.
So with the bill that passed in Tennessee this year, I heard some of the arguments for it, and on paper it sounds great. It sounds like, you know, we're losing land in Tennessee, we need to stop urban sprawl, we need to stop the development, this is how we protect the land. And one of the things that stood out to me was that focus on the land and not on the farming. And you brought up that point, Eric, about how the 200,000 acres and how many, you said 3,000?
Yeah, I mean, 1%. Of what they're bragging, over 200,000 acres is working farms. And so to the point, the question you just asked about, do farmers want this? Well, then I would point to, why are there so few working farm conservation easements right now, right? If they want it so bad.
Well, if you want your grandkids to give you the best cussing, dig you up and bury you face down, you just put your farm in a conservation easement and give it to them. They can't do it. They become the subservient partner. And these people who you don't know and may change day by day as it's sold from different people, they become the dominant partner. The dominant partner tells the subservient partner what they can and cannot do. Somebody you don't know on Wall Street, when they start trading these NACs, will tell your grandkids that they can't sell that timber that needs to be cut. They can't raise cattle because of climate change. They can't raise corn because it uses too much nitrogen. They can't mine the minerals. They can't mine the rare earth minerals. We need rare earth minerals. China's cut us off. Tennessee has more mines than any other state. They can say, you can't mine that because of climate change. So you've got your grandkids there paying taxes on a farm that they cannot do anything with.
So in committee, I heard a senator ask the question, if a farmer was to put his land into a conservation easement, and the way the bill was structured in Tennessee, this would be then handled by a nonprofit, so a third party, could the farmer be told how to farm? And that senator was told, no, the farmer can't be told how to farm. The farmer can still farm the way he wants. Would you all say that's true, or are they?
Not the first lie told in committee.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Anyone who reads the bill, the agreement between the nonprofit and the farmer, both sides, once the agreement is made, any changes to that, both sides would have to agree.
A lot of these farms, like a big farm in Knox County, it was one of the first to go in, and it was like 400 acres, and it would allow four houses. What that farm will eventually end up being is big lot subdivisions for billionaires, 100-acre lots for billionaires. Four billionaires will buy 100 acres, have a house on it. So we're setting it up for big lot subdivisions for billionaires.
Wow. Because I know a lot of the people who really thought that they were doing something good by getting this bill through, that they were really going to protect Tennessee farmers with this bill. And what we're hoping to do today, I guess, is to give the other side of the story. So if a farmer was considering the easement, what would you tell them? What would you say instead?
Well, it's just like Margaret Byfield says, if it's not in that original contract, you can't do it. Say you have a farm, you put in a conservation easement, and something happens, they run a road through your farm, and you have the option, you can sell 1 acre, or maybe lease 1 acre to a convenience store at the front of your farm, and buy 100 acres in the back of your farm. You can't do it, because that was not in the original contract. It ties your hands. I mean, you've got my favorite professor at the university, he said, keep your options open. This closes your options. You have a limited option once you sign this thing. And your million-dollar farm is now worth $300,000. You have given away two-thirds of your net worth. That's another reason that your grandchildren are going to cuss you like a dog, because you gave away two-thirds of their net worth, thinking, like an idiot, that you were doing the right thing.
Yeah.
I mean, all I want to do is wake up these farmers and say, listen, study this thing. Let's take some time. This is dangerous stuff. And it all goes into this wildlands project. All this land that's not farmland, it's going to eventually end up in the wildlands project. The wildlands is land that no human can walk on. You can't hunt, fish, you can't ride your bicycle, you can't ride your horse, you can't ride your four-wheeler. It's land set aside for nature, and the only thing you do is fly over it. You cannot even walk on it. Wildlands. And they're planning a wildlands area from the Middle Tennessee up through the Plateau, up through Kentucky, and into Virginia. And that, if you look it up, there's areas all over America where they're planning these wildlands. It's a scary thing. They want you to move you all into town in high-rises, 15-minute cities like Chattanooga's falling for that bait. These United Nations, 15-minute cities. In Knoxville, they're calling it city centers, same thing. Where you can walk 15 minutes. It's a 15-minute prison is what it is. It's not a 15-minute city. It's a 15-minute prison. And they're trying to take farmland. The reason I know this is because my farm in Knox County is the farm that Glenn Jacobs is wanting to take. Now, that's pretty socialistic. He says he's conservative, but that's pretty socialistic. When you're going to take somebody's 400-acre farm and turn it into a 15-minute city, I mean, I'm just warning these guys, you farmers out there that's listening, pay attention, do your research. Call me. If you need to, call me.
And Frank's absolutely right. Any proponent of this bill, if they're being honest, it's going to devalue your land, right? And they know this. And there was even an article that was published in the Compass Knox about an event they had shortly after the bill passed. And they actually had one of the nonprofits, you know, talked about this. And they even said how it was Cliff Robbins, general counsel for the Foothills Land Conservancy. And they mentioned at that meeting that it will reduce the value of your land, right? And so that's where they're saying, well, the taxes come in. But the other thing, to the point that Frank just made, there was another, the Knox County Planning Alliance, Kevin Murphy's a big Democratic donor in Knox County. He spoke on this too. And what did he advocate for? Mixed-use development and cluster development, right? So it's exactly what Frank said. Get people packed in, right? And then get the land out of human use, whether, you know, you can't build on it or eventually agriculture. And to the point you guys are making about keeping your options open, you know, we don't know what farming is going to look like 100 years ago. And I don't think one thing we've even talked about yet is this is permanent, right? So there's no changing this. So once that farmer makes that agreement, it's not like, well, this is just a 10-year deal. No, this is not only, this is for the eternity of the land itself.
Get your Bible down, dust it off, and look up Leviticus 25:23. It says, do not sell your land in perpetuity. This is as close to selling your land in perpetuity as you can get, because there's no mechanism to get it back. I mean, you can't go back and offer them 10 times more than you paid for it. They say no. Once they get it, they have got it. I mean, if I sell you my farm and I come back for 10 times the money, you'll sell it back to me. These guys won't. There is no way to get it back. It's for keeps. And another thing, your children want to go borrow a little money to buy a tractor. They're going to cost more interest because there's a cloud on your title. I mean, you don't have the net worth that you had before. So you cannot get the low interest rates because you just, and you may not even be able to buy the tractor. So it's something you really need to think about.
So who is pushing for this? Where is the drive for this coming from?
United Nations.
And some of the bills and some of the organizations that we saw locally with this is the nonprofits, specifically American Farmland Trust, the Land Trust Alliance, and then also the Nature Conservancy. And a lot of them are pushing the like a United Nations agenda, as Frank has pointed out, the 30 by 30 that Biden and Democratic platform talks about. And just to give people a scale of how big this is, there's 61 million acres across the country that are in these conservation easements or outright purchased by these nonprofits just to make them wildlife. That's larger than every national park in the United States combined. So this is a major issue. But let me get just briefly into some of these nonprofits that were pushing this. So American Farmland Trust, they were actually having teenagers give legislators in Nashville handouts in support of this bill. If you go to their website at American Farmland Trust and you click on their initiatives, one of them is climate and soil health. And so you go there, they talk about resilience to climate change. They talk about the Paris Agreement, the Intergovernmental Panel of Climate Change. And they don't talk about, hey, we need to help farmers. What they talk about how agriculture is responsible for 10% of U.S. emissions. And again, this bill is being sold as helping farmers, but the actual nonprofits that are pushing it, that is not what they're talking about. Also, the American Farmland Trust receives over $75 million in grants from the Department of Agriculture, you know, that happened in the Biden era, not in Trump. Another one, the Land Trust Alliance. Again, if you go to their page, you talk about what they're about, and they will say land trusts create climate solutions right on their website. Again, they're another one that receives about $1 million in federal grants. And then the biggest player in this game is the Nature Conservancy, or I should say the biggest one in the scheme. This is a USAID funded nonprofit, tens of millions of dollars just from USAID. They get over $100 million from other federal departments. They are an international nonprofit, right? We actually give them U.S. taxpayer dollars to do things in other countries. This is a nonprofit that has an annual budget of over $1 billion, but we are taking hard, you know, earned taxpayer dollars in Tennessee, and we are now going to give massive nonprofits like this money, including ones that work in other countries.
Wow.
You know, it's borderline unconstitutional to take our taxpayer money and the governor give it to these foreign entities. Mm. But while we're here, let's say a little bit about these natural asset companies, these NACs. Look it up, find out what they are. They almost passed. They came real, real close to passing. They were going to be traded on Wall Street. It was a whole new category of stock to be traded on Wall Street. They would have traded the management rights on our national parks, our national forest, state parks, state forest, and all of these farms who have sold their conservation easements. So you're letting somebody on Wall Street, could be Chinese, could be Russian, who knows who it's going to be. It's going to end up telling you what you can do with your farm. You people have got to wake up. I am not crazy. This stuff is real. I mean, a lot of people try to say I'm crazy. I'm not. I'm just so damn smart they think I'm crazy. But anyway, I just hate to see anybody duped into thinking that this is a good idea.
Yeah, and Frank's absolutely right, too. There's nothing in the bill that guarantees the taxpayer money stays in Tennessee. And also, another thing I want to be very clear about, the bill, central to the bill was nonprofits, right? No money is going directly to a farmer. There's only two ways that someone can get money in this bill. One, a nonprofit can get it directly, or a farmer has to have an agreement with a nonprofit. And Frank touched on that previously, that once you make that agreement, you cannot change it unless that nonprofit also agrees to.
And they never will agree to that. They will never agree to change it. You show me a nonprofit I'll show you padded expense accounts and bloated salaries. They should be outlawed. There is no such thing as an odd profit. They plow the profits into bloated salaries. I mean, it's crazy. If you think a nonprofit's a good idea, you need a guardian.
So it seems to be what I'm hearing is that there's an overreaching agenda where there is a certain subset of people who want to take the land, take it away from human use, protect it, the Wildlands Project 30 by 30. And these nonprofits, these boards will ultimately have free rein to tell the farmer what they can and can't do if the farmer doesn't explicitly say in the conservation purpose that they sign with these nonprofits, hey, in 30 years, I might want to, you know, put a fence up in the lower back 40. If it's not explicitly listed in that conservation purpose, they can't do it. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Okay. And so you're basically handicapping future generations and how they're going to farm, because how do you know what your grandchildren are going to want to do with that land?
Agriculture is in a constant state of change.
Yeah.
Now, everybody thinks the way it was when they were a kid, the way it always been. It'd been that way about 10 years. In my lifetime, I remember seeing them bringing loose hay with a team of mules to put in a barn. Then we went to bales, square bales. We went to round bales. We put up all kinds of silage. At one time, everybody's putting up silage. Most of my listeners don't know what silage is. And now then, hardly anybody puts up silage. It's in a constant state of change. We don't know what's coming next. I mean, they say this AI is going to change agriculture more than anything. I'm not smart enough to know how it's going to change it, but maybe I hope it changes for the good, because it's continuously changing. But, you know, you just got to slow down and do your homework. When they devalue your farm, when you sell the development rights, your farm is worth, like we said, about a third. And eventually you won't be able to make a living on it, and you'll sell it for a third of what it would have been worth, and these people will buy it. They will buy up the land. There's a little book, a little magazine comes out quarterly called The Range, R-A-N-G-E, like rangeland. And it's basically out west, and they have horror stories in there about ranchers who have signed up with this stuff, thought it was a great thing to do, eventually lose their farm, lose everything they've got. So I don't know what more to tell you. Just ask questions. Don't believe anything a liberal tells you.
Yeah, I guess get it.
About half of what a Republican tells you. We have a three-party system now. We have Democrats, Rhinos, and Republicans. And the Rhinos are the majority.
Unfortunate, but true. In terms of agriculture emissions, when they're talking about, you know, climate change in regards to how we farm, do you think that that's playing a role in this drive to put the land into these conservation easements that would potentially impact the ability for the farmer to farm or to have cows? They could say that, you know, if you have more than 10 cows, then your carbon footprint is too big for your farm potentially.
There's a good book called How Cows Save the Planet. Cattle and agriculture, good agriculture, does not destroy the environment. It puts carbon back into the ground. You build your humus, build your carbon content, your organic matter. And cattle restore the microorganisms in your soil. The plow layer of soil has enough microorganisms. If you had them all out in a pile, they'd weigh more than a cow. Your intestines are full of microorganisms. There's a direct connection between the health of your plow, the microbes in your soil, and the microbes in your intestines. As if we destroy the soil, we destroy our intestines. But the cattle and the hoof action actually restores the soil. They fenced off big areas of the prairie out west to save it. Well, when they fenced it off and there was no hoof action and no cattle, the prairie dies. The prairie, it depends on, it used to be on the buffalo moving through, and the hoof action tearing up the soil and the manure and the urine and everything to feeding the microorganisms. And then the cattle does the same thing that the buffalo used to do. But when you fence that off, all the grass, all the life that's in that prairie dies. You got to look to the science, but you got to look to the real science, not junk science.
Not science with an agenda. Yeah. Eric, is there anything else that you wanted to touch on today?
No, I mean, it was an unfortunate decision made in Tennessee this year. I hope it's reversed as soon as possible to minimize the damage to the state And I think ultimately the way I view this is an anti-human agenda, right? Despite it being sold as a way to help farmers, I think what we will see long term is less housing for people, but also less farmland. I mean, less, you know, agriculture to feed people. And I think ultimately that's just not a good place to be.
Yeah.
Would you like to leave on a high note?
Of course. Yes.
I read about a farm, and don't ever give up because it's always something going to happen. I read about a farm. I think it's Clear Creek Farm. It's out in Iowa, northern Iowa, near West Bend, I think. Can't remember the family's names. They own a lot of land, but then they lease land. They pay the farmers $500 an acre, and they farm 50,000 acres organically. They raise corn, they raise soybeans, they oats, they have a dairy. Think about that, 50,000 acres, and they pay $500 an acre rent to rent. So these landowners out there, they're renting their land to this Clear Creek farm for $500 an acre. Well, the Roundup cowboys out there, they can't pay that because they're not making enough because the corn's $4 a bushel and their seed corn's $500 a bushel. They can't pay it, so they're mad at them. But think about that. If you can farm 50,000 acres organically, then that proves you can scale it up. They used to say, well, that works in your backyard garden. It won't work anywhere else. Well, study up on Clear Creek Farm.
I will.
That's
I'll check them out.
Note.
That is a bright note. Well, thank you. Well, thank you all for tuning in. Eric, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.